It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Rob Ferret is off today. Coming up later, we'll look at the response to the Ebola crisis in Africa and what that says about whether or not the United States is prepared for a pandemic or an act of bioterror within its borders. First, there's a good chance that you check the weather forecast today. Well, you can thank a weather satellite for that. Floating high above the Earth, these satellites not only help us determine whether or not we're going to need our umbrella on a given day, they're essential to the predicting and tracking of serious weather events. According to our next guest, though, the satellites the United States uses to predict the paths of snowstorms and hurricanes are nearing the end of their lives, and a replacement won't be fully operational until 2018. And that could potentially be a seriously bad thing for the nation. We're joined now by Catherine Miles. She's a writer in residence at Green Mountain College and the author of the forthcoming book, Superstorm, 9 Days Inside Hurricane Sandy. Catherine, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start with a little primer on America's satellites. What do we have up there right now?
We have two types of satellites that we rely on for our weather forecasting. We have what's called a geostationary satellite, and these are very high-flying satellites. They fly at about 30,000 feet above the Earth. 30,000 miles. And these are the satellites that we use primarily to get our day-to-day weather. So if you see the weatherman standing in front of some imagery while you're watching the evening news, you're probably seeing a geostationary satellite. They revolve at the same rate as the Earth, and so they fix a point and they show us storms as they develop. The second type of satellite is what's called a polar orbiting satellite, and these orbit at about 500 miles above the Earth, so much lower. And we use these for a lot of our long-term forecasting, and we use them for everything from marking climate change to things like a 5-day hurricane forecast.
So looking ahead, knowing what we do about these satellites and their function, what's got you worried?
Well, actually, what has me worried is the fact that NASA, NOAA, and the GAO are worried, and they issued a report very recently suggesting that both satellite programs are in serious trouble, so much so, in fact, that they were placed on the GAO watch list. The GAO actually removed IRS efficiency to put the satellites on that, so that tells us a little bit about how serious a problem this is. And what they've noticed is because we have had various iterations of satellite programs in our country, some of which have been not very effective and have really gotten kind of hung up in a lot of sort of bureaucratic wrangling, what has happened is that any surplus of satellites that we had depleted, and while we launched this brand new satellite system, we didn't really schedule it correctly. So we have this very likely possibility that either between now and 2017, when, as you mentioned in the introduction, we'll be launching a new polar orbiting satellite, we could have a gap if one of these older satellites fail. We could also have an even bigger gap if something goes wrong with that launch, and that replacement satellite won't be up until 2022. So we could have 4 or 5 years where we don't have this very important satellite data.
Well, it seems like in terms of weather and, I suppose, security on the other end, that's not really acceptable to be without a satellite. How did we get to that position?
Bill Clinton, under a lot of pressure from Congress, was looking for ways to tighten his budget during his presidency. And one way that he sought to do that was to combine the satellite programs of NOAA and the Department of Defense. And unfortunately, what we found out as a country very quickly is that these were two fundamentally incompatible satellite systems. And so that's where that political wrangling and bickering, frankly, started. And as a result, what happened was there was basically a stalemate where new satellites weren't being produced, and the two very different departments couldn't agree on what this new satellite program would look like. So as a result, we kind of got hemmed in terms of time. President Obama came in, sort of saw this as a big problem. He stepped in, he separated the two organizations, and that left NOAA scrambling to create a brand new program on its own. And as a result, we have this very large potential gap.
So let's say these two satellites that are up there now, they kick the bucket, and we don't really have anything ready in place. What kind of impact are we looking at there?
Significant. We'll be losing the weather data that we use to predict extreme weather, long-term weather, and also we're losing a lot of our national security when you think about just how much of our lives depend upon our ability to anticipate the weather. There was a recent report that was commissioned by NOAA and NASA looking at possible mitigation strategies, and that's really where Congress is focusing its attention right now, is if these satellites fail, can we do something to solve the gap?
So we've got the satellite that is set to go up in 2017, but I gather it's also kind of a fickle business. There are experts that you spoke to who said, yeah, it's entirely possible that that satellite could blow up on launch day. So if that is something that happens, what's the backup plan?
So that's where Congress is doing this sort of investigation. This report, which is called the Riverside Report, had 40 potential options, and none of them are great. And the best option has created a real firestorm on Congressional Hill right now, and that was the idea that we buy our weather data from the Chinese military, which raises some obvious national concerns for a lot of people.
So that's the best thing on the table, is partnering with China?
According to that report, we currently already depend upon the European Union for a sizable amount of our weather data. We purchase it at a very high price. They, too, are worried they might not have the satellite longevity that they need, so they are also looking at China. So you could see a situation in which both the European Union and the United States are relying on China for their weather data.
I don't understand why it takes so long to build and launch these things. Surely if we're under a time crunch, we can crank one out and send it up, can't we?
We can't, actually. And that's partly because of what we ask these satellites to do. Right now, these are very large satellites, and they carry five different sensors that do five very different things. There are some in the industry who have suggested that we stop this model, that this is not a sustainable model of satellite production because it's so labor-intensive and it's so cost-intensive. And so they've suggested that we instead launch lots of little satellites that can do this work instead. But there are some obvious setbacks to that, too. Then we have, you know, lots and lots and lots of little satellites up there, and we need to keep sending them up on rockets. So right now, there's a lot of sort of looking around and looking over shoulders to see what the next move is going to be.
Well, let's assume that new satellite does us proud. It's the JPSS-1. What do you know about it?
This is a satellite that is using some new and really wonderful and very important technology. It's able to sense in real time things that we haven't been able to, everything from radiation levels and ozone levels into the atmosphere, things that are being used to chart ocean health, climate change. We also have, and I think a lot of people don't know this, we have some large gaps in those geostationary satellites. They can't necessarily read all of the country. There's a huge swath of Alaska, for instance, that those satellites can't catch. So these satellites do double duty with that as well, too. And what we know in terms of the technology is that it's doing a great job, and it's really filling an important need for people like hurricane forecasters and people who are tracking nor'easters in the Northeast.
So we've talked about how this is not an ideal situation to be in satellite-wise. Is there a long-term plan out there now to make sure that this kind of weather gap doesn't happen again?
There is no long-term plan. And not only that, there is no plan for a satellite beyond this 2022 satellite, which we have not yet started to build. So if, in fact, the satellite going up in 2017 fails, and it may, they have very high infant mortality rates. They have, frankly, disappointing rates getting off the launch pad. We're stuck in a situation where we have not yet constructed this 2022 satellite. We're depending upon budget increases from Congress to get this other satellite done, and we have no plan for a third one right now.
Are other countries in a predicament like we are? I mean, here we are possibly having to get our weather information from the Chinese military. It seems like we dropped the ball, but is it unique to us?
It's not unique to us. It is somewhat unique to us in the sense that we are such a large and wealthy country, and we're a country that, frankly, provides military for other countries. So I think that's where I think a lot of people and a lot of countries look to us and expect that we're leading in this. But because these are so expensive and because countries struggle to get this information, we see a lot of this. The satellites, the rockets that we use to send our satellites up right now are actually Russian rockets. They have Russian engines in them. And so we're also relying on Russia to get this work done as well. So it gets very complicated very quickly from a political perspective.
Catherine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. It was my pleasure.
Catherine Miles is a writer in residence at Green Mountain College, the author of the forthcoming book, Superstorm, 9 Days Inside Hurricane Sandy. She joined us to talk about America's aging weather satellites.